All right, if you'll make your way to Genesis chapter 2. If you need a Bible, there should be a brown covered one in the seat backs there in front of you. If you need to borrow one of ours, feel free to do that. We have finally finished the first chapter. I think this is the eighth session in our study that we've entitled The First 7 Days. And we have finally come to day 7. All right, so we are up to that point, okay? So let's just take a look here at these few verses, and then a little bit later we're going to slip over into Exodus chapter 20 and look a little bit more about God's teaching us and revealing to us about the seventh day. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Now you understand in the original that we have in Hebrew, they didn't have punctuation like we have in English, okay? All the punctuation we put in there is part of the translation process. So the period at the end of verse 1, a translator putting it in English for us put a period there. I think there should be an exclamation point. I just think it is finished. Boom, exclamation point. God has in six short days, God has created this entire universe that we do not to this day have the ability to fully measure how big and how magnificent and how large and how intricate it is. We don't even know, you know, we talk about on day 5 he created all the land animals and so forth, and on day 6, and on day 5 he made the birds and all of the water creatures. We still don't know how many of them there are. When we send things down in the ocean, we're still finding strange critters down in the ocean that we never knew before. We go off into the rainforest of Central America or South America or Africa. There's still species of plants and animals and birds that we're still uncovering. God made it all in 6 short days, and it is finished. It is finished. So, pick it up in verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So we will actually continue on into chapter 2 in the next, as we kind of spin out our study over the next three times that we are together here. By the way, next Wednesday is a Kid Stuff night, so we will not be meeting in here. 6 o'clock, we'll meet over in the Ministry Center for dinner. And our final Kid Stuff production of the season will be at 7. You're welcome to come and be part of that, even if you're not a kid. It will be enjoyable to one and all, so that'll be next week. But anyway, as we come to this seventh day, it doesn't give us a lot of data. He doesn't talk much about it. In fact, if you read the descriptions of all the other days, this is as brief as any that you find. Just that he's finished, he rested, it says he blessed it and sanctified it. That's about it. But there's a lot poured in there and a lot we can seek to understand. And if you have your notes, I'm just going to sort of use that as my guide, and you can use that as yours as well. Let's just first of all talk about the nature of this day. Anyone tired tonight? Anyone not tired? This is dangerous to say that, because now you're going to feel like, well, I am tired. I need to just kind of nod off. The reason we rest is because we get tired. We need to rest. If you don't rest, you're going to be in big trouble. There's been these studies done that if your sleep is not, if you don't get enough sleep and the right quality of sleep, it causes all sorts of potential health issues for us. And we understand that. But God did not rest because he was weary. He rested because he was finished. He rested because there was nothing else that needed to be done. It was not that, wow, well, glad that's over. Now, I'm going to say something that is not going to sound logical, because it does not fit into our human parameters, all right? God expended an enormous amount of divine energy to create in those 6 days. But at the same time, God did not expend out of his resources any energy, because he has infinite ability and energy. I told you that would not make sense logically. I mean, it's obvious from the creation that this is a magnificent work that God did. If you and I, boy, work today, I'm really tired. I need to go to bed early and sleep in late and prop my feet up for a few minutes because I'm tired. But God has the same infinite resources that He's always had. That's the nature of the infinite. We would say, in if you want a good theological word, God is omnipotent. Or all-powerful. So He rested, but not because He's tired, because His omnipotence, His almightiness, dictates that God can never get tired. Now, if you think about that, this is a side note, but shouldn't that bring you some comfort? You know, sometimes you need somebody to help you. Hey, would you come over and help me unload this big load in the back of my trunk? I can't. I'm too tired. Or, I can't. My back hurts. Or, I can't. I got stuff in my own trunk that needs unloaded. But when we call out to God, we never run into a God that is tired, too weary, unable. He has more than infinite amount of ability to minister to us in accordance with His will and accordance to our needs. So, He ceased from His labors. He rested, not because He was weary, but because He was finished. Now, it does not say this in the text. This is me just assuming, but I think it's a safe assumption. He does experience this seventh day. And on some level, because He's talking here in verse 1 about the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them, and He talks about in the end of verse 2 the work which He had done, and the fact that He speaks a blessing to it and sanctifies it, and He talks about the work in which God created and made, He is still interacting with His creation. He doesn't need to make anything because it was completed in 6 days. So I would just say it this way, and this is what I'm going to assume a little bit. I think it was a day for Him just to enjoy what He had created. And if you'll just allow me to imagine, I think God just kind of looked around, and of course God could be anywhere, and God, I shouldn't say it that way, God is already everywhere there is to be, so He could enjoy some stars off that we will never ever be able to reach or see, or He could see what's in the depths of the ocean or some animals or whatever. He could just enjoy it. And I think on some level, the day is just He enjoyed what He'd made. Don't we have that same experience? Something that you view some of your creativity and your ability and your resources and you made. We had some friends were telling us that about that they had this old beat-up dinette table, dining room table that had been it was kind of inherited. No one sort of wanted it, and this young lady that we knew, she decided she's going to refinish it. So you know, if you've ever done that, it takes a little bit of effort, a little bit of work, and it's a little bit of mess and all that. And you just said, I just like now going and seeing this. I just like to look at it because there was that investment of energy, and now it's a beautiful piece of furniture that sort of come back from its ugliness, if you want to say it that way. And we enjoy what we've done. Whatever, if you'd like to bake something, and you might just enjoy it. And sometimes you just got to cut a really wide piece of it and sit down and enjoy that cake after you've made or whatever. So God enjoys it. I think God, when it says it was very good, remember we saw that back in the end of day 6, and God saw everything He made, and behold, it was very good. There's some enjoyment there. And then He makes this statement. In verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. The root meaning of the word sanctified, and that's a big word, but it basically means to put it in a different category. We're going to take this one day. It's not like the other 6 days. This one day is in a different category. It's set apart, if you want to. That's basically the root meaning. But it sort of puts it in a different notch, a different category. God says, I'm going to treat the seventh day, not only the first seventh day, as we'll find out later, every seventh day, he creates into this order that it's different. It's separate from all the other days. Now, when we come over to Exodus 20, we'll see some of God's intention and design about what that separateness meant. But it's not just another day. It's not just a day just to act like every other day. God built a system and God built a routine into it. Next, is nextly a word? Did I just make up a new word? It sounds good, doesn't it? I'm going to start using that word often now, nextly. There was a, it was became a pattern for us that we would have this, the first 7 days set a pattern that continues to this day. That we have this pattern of 7 days in a week, and then it sort of resets and repeats. And the fact that it's a in this seventh day, there is a day of this seven-day week that is still, in a sense, even us as New Testament believers, not Old Testament living under the law, but there's a specialness about a day of the week, a separateness, distinctness. So this pattern of work 6 days and then have a day of rest is a pattern that is that God just set it for us. He set the template for us. He set the pattern for it. Now, this is going to be a little bit, I hope this doesn't get too technical for you, but this is a good time to talk about a week. Do you ever wonder why a week is 7 days long? Maybe that has never crossed your mind. I want it to cross your mind for a few moments, if you would indulge me. If you think about other timekeeping mechanisms we have, why is a day 24 hours long? Well, we've divided it up in these 24 hours because that is a measurement of how long it takes the Earth to turn one time on its axis, okay? To just make one spin around its axis. So we understand there's a reason that a day is as long as a day is. Even you might measure it differently, but it's still that period of time. There's a reason that a month is either 30 or 31 or 28 or 29. That's the only options you got on how long months are. And of course, you understand February is the wild card. And you understand the calendar that we've imposed is not a completely perfect assessment of reality, but in major terms, it is dictated. The reason a year is 365 and a quarter days long, and that's the reason every 4 years you've got to have a leap day, because you've added up those quarter days and you got to account for it and reset everything. But the reason that a year is that long is that's how long it takes the Earth to make one revolution around the sun. One orbit around the sun, I should say, not revolution. One trip around the sun. So if you're having a birthday soon, you can just say, I made another trip around the sun. I've completed another, you know, vast journey through the cosmos in that year's time. So, you know, we know why months are as long as they are. We know why days as long as they are. We know why years as long as they are. But you think about this division, there is no correlation to any movement of the sun, the moon. I should go back. I didn't talk about the month, did I? I went to year and day. The month is dictated, and it's really based on a lunar calendar. It takes about 29 and a fraction days for the moon to make one revolution around the Earth, all right? And that happens about 12 times in a year. So months are sort of, not exactly, because we've kind of monkeyed with the calendar a little bit. But basically, there's an astronomical reason for it. But there's no astronomical reason for a week to be 7 days long. Now, there's been some attempts. And by the way, I should say this. If you go back into ancient history, we're talking about on Sunday mornings, we're talking a lot about Babylon because we're studying the book of Daniel together. But the Mesopotamians, the Babylonians, the Persians, all those Middle Eastern cultures, and of course Judaism, Israel, if you will, all from time immemorial had a seven-day week. There's no physical reason for it, but they've had that. Even in ancient China and ancient India, which for the most part didn't have much influence with the near Middle East or even Western culture, it wasn't until relatively recently that because of travel that kind of opened up. But they also operated on a seven-day week cycle. And the question is, why does everybody come up with 7 days when there's no natural sync to it? There's been two occasions which cultures have tried to change the length of a week. One was the French, and this occurred, and they actually did this from 1793 to 1802. And they adopted that a week was 10 days long. Wouldn't you love that? You have to wait 8 days before a weekend, okay? Not five, eight. And one of the reasons I'm convinced, I don't know if I've seen this in print to prove it, but one of my suspicions is when the French Revolution took place, And you remember in those days, the church and the state were kind of one and the same, okay? We live in here in America, we live under this system where there's a division. It certainly has, I think, a much better system where there's a division, but where you had a state church. Well, the government was corrupt and the church was in collusion with it. So during the French Revolution, not only did they want to throw off the tyranny of their government, they also wanted to throw off, quote unquote, the tyranny of their church and of that system. So there was a very much an anti-God and a very pro-human agenda. And I think one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of the seven-day week was we want to do our own thing because man can do anything he wants. The problem was it didn't work. As soon as enough people got enough angry and upset and dissatisfied with it after a few years, they reset back to a seven-day week. The other country that tried messing with a week were the Russians. And this occurred from 1929 to 1931. They adopted a five-day week. So every you have 5 days and then a new week. Same thing happened. And I suspect part of it was that same sort of let's get rid of God sort of thing. And it went back to it. So now they, the French, us, we celebrate, or we shouldn't say we celebrate, but we practice a seven-day week. The only reason for a week to be 7 days long is because that's the pattern God designed on the first week there ever was. There is no other explanation. There's not even any other theory that makes any sense about why cultures from the very beginning to the present, and even when we try to change it, it goes back. This is the pattern that God established when he made everything in 6 days and rested the seventh. So every week, I don't know if you turn a page on your calendar. I don't know if you mark stuff on a calendar. Some of you have electronic devices that have your calendar on it. And we have all these things to keep track. But whenever you go to a calendar, whenever you see the days of a week, it should be a little clue to remind us that we are operating in a God-ordained pattern, that if you just track this pattern all the way back, it plugs us back into our Creator. We'll talk more about that as we conclude. All right? So what is the purpose of this seventh day for us? What's the purpose that God has created in it? Well, number one, we do need rest. We do need rest. There are some people that treat every day of the week just like every other day of the week, and they just work and work and work and work and work and work. It's another day to make more money, another day to get more done, another day just to get my agenda complete. But I think you would agree with me that that is not a great pattern, and God recognized that from the beginning. He knows that we need a day that we just disengage from everything and our normal pattern, and we need a day to rest. So that's part of the purpose. We also need a day to worship and reflect on our Creator. We get busy when we work. Most of us would say we're probably more overworked than we are underworked. There's always, you know, whatever we're doing, whatever life, there's still plenty to get done. Whether that's just taking care of your house and your stuff and your life or the job that you go to or the business you operate, whatever it is, we're busy, 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 busy. And it's easy. It is very easy for us to just be so full of stuff and things and activities that we don't take time just to reflect on God. God knew we needed time to just slow down and think at a different pace and think about a different person and reflect on God. And then also to worship, a day that we can just express our hearts to God. And we'll look again here in just a moment when we go to Exodus 20. Also, thirdly, we need to see ourselves connected to the Creator. This divinely instituted, this divinely carried out pattern of 6 days and a special day, 6 days and a separate day, 6 days and a sanctified day, 6 days and then a blessed day, was what God desired for us to have an opportunity than to open our hearts and express worship to Him. If you go back to Jesus' time, on the Sabbath day, you went to synagogue in whatever town or village you were in, if you were in Judea, or even in other parts of the Roman world. You would gather with other believers in God and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From the time of Christ on, believers in Christ have gathered on a day of the week to come together and just express our hearts, to study the Scriptures, to listen to God's voice, and to worship Him. God deserves it, and we need it. Both of those are realities. Now, if you'll take a moment, you might want to mark your place there in Genesis, because we will come back to it at least in summary. But I want you to go over to Exodus chapter 20 for just a moment. Because in this very familiar passage of Scripture, he's going to talk about the Sabbath. By the way, the word that's translated rest in Genesis 2:2 is the same exact Hebrew word that's translated Sabbath later in the law. So rest and Sabbath are basically synonyms for each other, okay? So very same word. So here in Exodus 20, this is the account of the Ten Commandments. And these are the words that God spoke. And if you get down to verse 8, he talks about the commandment about the Sabbath, the rest day. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Holy has the same root idea of the word sanctified back in Genesis. Put it in a different category. Treat it different. It's not the same as any other day. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the Sabbath day is the, and you could read it this way, the rest of the Lord, the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. He goes to great lengths to tell us that this is a day for everybody, and even the animals, to take a break. Of course, in those days, you would use the animals and the oxen to do work and labor in the fields and in the agricultural society in which they lived. Everything came to a halt. Everything stopped. And that was practiced very distinctly by those Jews who were keeping the law, still true to this day. Now, in Jewish accounting, the Sabbath day begins on sundown on Friday and continues till sundown on our Saturday. Okay, so when the sun sets at the end of the seventh day, then the Sabbath is over as far as their reckoning. Okay, here's where it ties back into creation, verse 11. The reason for the command of verses 8, 9, and 10 is because of the creation account that he recounts in verse 11 and following. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Basically, if you lay that alongside of the Genesis passage, it's almost word for word what we just read. So this is important to God. It made his top 10 list. And I know some people, I've had these discussions with certain people about, well then, why don't you Christians keep the Sabbath? It's one of the Ten Commandments. And there are some Christian groups that worship on the Sabbath. They've kept that in place. Well, for one thing, this kind of helps me understand it. If you take the Ten Commandments as you see in Exodus chapter 20, 9 of the 10 are repeated in the New Testament. The one that is not repeated is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, but there is a pattern in the New Testament of believers meeting not on the seventh day, but on the first day of the week. And I think in a very true sense, the intention is the same. We have a day, it's the first day rather than the seventh day, but we have one day in seven that is set aside for rest, for reflection, and worship. And one of the reasons that the early church shifted to that day of worship, actually a couple reasons. You understand, early on, all of the Christians were also Jews. So they many of them were still practicing the patterns of Judaism, but now they were also followers of Christ. So a pattern that sort of superseded or was in addition to that of worshiping on the first day of the week, primarily because that was the day of resurrection. Remember, it was on the first day of the week that Christ rose from the dead. So in some sense, as we celebrate what we now call, biblically, the Lord's Day, we are keeping the pattern and the heart of the Sabbath But we're also commemorating the new covenant, the new reality that is based on the fact of not just creation, but of resurrection. And you understand, with the resurrection, a lot of things shifted. God's intention and God's heart and the pattern didn't change, but our observance of it changed. And I feel very comfortable with gathering together the worship on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. If someone worships on Saturday, that's... I'm not going to pick a fight with them, but I think it's that's very acceptable. We commemorate the Lord's Day to commemorate the resurrection of the first day of the week. You want to flip your page over, just a few lessons I want to think about in conclusion. What do we take away? What difference does it make? Well, one thing we should think of is this. We should see every day and every week as a gift from God. Do you realize that we are 4 days into this week and not one of us have any guarantee that we'll make it to the seventh day of this week? If we do, and I hope we do, but if we don't, that's in His will, and if we do, it's a gift from God. Every day is a gift. Every day is an added blessing and bonus. You know, as you get older, you start to realize this even a little more. I'm not sure you can find, you know, a 10-year-old that's, they just think they're going to live forever and everything just continues on. But you get a little bit older, and as you've said goodbye to some dear friends, as you've lost some loved ones, as you realize your own mortality, you realize every day is a gift. It is. We should treat it as that. We should treat it as that. And we really shouldn't waste our days. Sometimes we can waste it with laziness. Sometimes we can waste it with anger. We can waste it with, you know, bitterness. We can waste it with wrong priorities. And not one of us is immune to those things. But one of the things we need to do is just get in the practice of somewhere as we start our day, reconnect with God, spend some time in His Word, spend some time praying, and realize and hopefully allow us to realize that this day, this week is a gift from God. And then be in sync with His pattern for life and activity. I know, and I don't want to sound too judgmental here, but there are some people who work more at their play than they work at their work. You know what I'm saying? It's the weekend. Let's just play all, and then they come dragging in on Monday. It's like... You know, I got to get back to work to rest. Now, what you do for recreation and how you measure it out—that's, you know, you got to lay that before the Lord. I just, you know, we all have different things that interest us. But I just simply say this: however we plan our time, allow time for rest and worship. That's God's pattern. Be in sync with that. And for some people, you know, okay, you know, it's Sunday afternoon. I can get a little more work done. I can go back and work and that sort of thing. So just lay it before the Lord and say, am I in sync with God's pattern? Because it's the pattern He established for us. And then reserve time for rest. Nothing wrong with rest. Sometimes we can get it all backwards and, you know, rest 6 days and work one. It's the other way around. We should do our work in 6 days and have a day to rest, but understand that. And then reserve time for worship and fellowship with God. If my restful activities or my recreational activities start robbing me of the opportunity to worship God, it's probably time to take a pause and take a look at what I'm doing, okay? And now, the other thing is we don't want to become like it was in Jesus' time. In Jesus' time, and I make reference to Mark 2 there, the last note there. We're not going to take time to read it, but this is when the disciples were going through the grain fields, and they were pulling some of the heads of grain off, and they rub it in their hand, and, you know, they were just, it's kind of like, you know, getting a handful of Cheerios, you know, that's my picture, you know, just eating the grain. And the Pharisees come along, and, they're breaking the Sabbath! And the Pharisees had all sorts of rules to make sure you did the Sabbath right. They even would measure out. There was this thing called a Sabbath day walk, and they would measure out, this is how far you're allowed to walk on a Sabbath day. If you take a step over, you're a Sabbath breaker. And you remember, they were on Jesus on this one all the time. Remember, more than once, he healed somebody in the synagogue on a Sabbath day, and they were like, oh! Rather than saying, he healed somebody, rather than being like, wow, somebody who couldn't walk just got up. Someone with a withered hand now has, you know, he broke the Sabbath. They made it so constricting and so legalistic that it messed everything up. But Jesus makes a statement in Mark 2 in that same passage where he says to them when they're talking about eating the grain, he says, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was for our benefit, in essence. So God gave us this great gift for our benefit. And if we're in sync with it and we practice this principle anyway, then God is going to bless us. God is going to bless us. Now, you got to figure out what that means for you. We just sort of as a family for years have adopted certain patterns of what we would do on a Sunday and what we don't do on a Sunday. And I'm not going to give you my list, but I would say this: come back to the principle and just say, how do I practice this value of the seventh day? Because God has given us a wonderful gift. I mean, well, after all, what if God just says, you understand, the week could be 6 days long. Because God was done with everything he was going to do in 6 days. He could have said, okay, this is day six, tomorrow's day one. He could have just said, every day is a day of work. But that's not the pattern he established. He said, 6 days, I'm going to give you this day as a day to worship and reflect and to rest. And if that's his pattern, we should be in sync with it.